Buongiorno. See? It's great to have you here today. Great day for us of worship, for us in what we do and who we are. The first thing we did today to baptize Ruby Grace, what a gift. And to see a grandma baptize her granddaughter. Although I thought for a minute Elizabeth was in trouble there, don't you? She started to cry on you, didn't she? Well, you could have handed her to me. I'd have been okay with that. But it's great to do that, and great to do baptism. You know, we here at this church, this Sunday, Ruby Grace, we baptized, and next Sunday we baptized Alia Amazon. Tristan and Mike Amazon's daughter will be brought forth to baptize. And it's a wonderful thing that we do, but sometimes it's a weird thing that we do. Because what we as a family of faith do, what we as a who call this home church, what we do as those who have this these walls and know each other well sometimes, what we do is we lay down those walls. We open the door and we welcome in a child that we do not know. We do not know what Ruby's going to be like. We do not know what Alia is going to be like. We do know Ruby's a little suspect because she's got an ordained grandmother. And them ordained folks are just trouble, right? So you never know what you're going to welcome in. But that's what we do when we baptize. As we open our doors and we risk who we are so that we can show the love and the grace of Christ and the love of grace of God in this world. And when we think about who we are in this season, this time that we call Lent or preparation for new life, sometimes I think God asks us to be those who take risks, who lay down the walls or open the doors in our hearts or in our lives so that we might receive that risk and grow in grace. And so often we don't like to do that. We hate to take risks. We like to play it safe. We like our comfort zone. Especially, I think that's been the case in the last 9 years for us as Americans. I mean, after 9/11 hit, do you remember that? I mean, I know what I did. If you were like me, man, my heart turned fearful. I tended to my children a little more, perhaps, than I should have. I didn't take risks. It created fear in my heart. And I kind of closed off for a while, even though personally it did not touch me. And yet still, I was not about taking risks. In some ways, I think that's those who drove those planes into those towers. That was their purpose. To close us off, if you will. But for us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, for us who call ourselves those who follow the one who said, if somebody's hungry, even if you don't know them, you feed them. For the one who said, if somebody's in prison, even though they've done wrong to the society, you visit them. And if somebody's sick, you go tend to them. Or for those who follow the Apostle Paul, who says there's neither Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Christ. We are all one people. For us to say we can't take risks to love or to help each other, you know, what are we about if we're not about that? 8 or 9 years ago, we started Voices of Light. How long has it been, Ron? 8 years ago, we started a group called Voices of Light, which was the youth of our community, our youth group here at the church, but also youth from the community. We invited them to come into the summer. They worked on a play. They did Godspell for 2 or 3 times and some other plays they've done. You know, Mr. Zemke, he's taught my kids music at the school, and that's how we kind of set this up. So I knew him, and he invited a lot of kids from the school to come in, and they invited a lot of friends, and I bet we had between 20 and 30 starting that first year. And it was it's a great thing that we've done. It's great for our youth. We hope to continue something like that this summer. But I had an interesting encounter that first summer we did it. The Voices of Light group had a practice session here. And at the end of the day, and I was leaving the church, and I pulled out on the Schomburg Road and turned right. And I noticed a young man who had come to be part of Voices of Light was walking down the road. Ben was his name, and still is his name. But Ben was walking down the road, and Ben went to school with my kids. I knew him there, and I had met him at school, and I knew his parents. And Ben had come here, and I think he'd even come to worship and seen me preach a little bit, so he knew I was a pastor of this church. So I was driving down, and as he was walking down, I turned left and kind of blocked him off and said, Ben, would need a ride home? Because I'd be glad to do that. And Ben looked at me and said, no, my mom said never take a ride with strangers. I said, Ben, do you know who I am? Yeah. You're Dan and you're Tim's dad, and I go to school with him. And do you know that I'm a pastor of the church you just left? Yeah, I know you're the pastor of the church, but my mom told me never to take a ride with strangers. Whatever. Okay. You know? Now, it probably worked out well because I didn't have 2 blocks to corrupt that young boy's mind, if you know what I mean. And it saved me some gas, so it probably worked out.
But think about that.
Now, Ben may be a little unique, but sometimes do we not take risks, even normal risks, or do we protect ourselves too much? I think the lesson today about Peter is that Peter was asked to take a risk. You know, Peter was in a boat, he'd been out fishing all night, and Jesus, this academic, Jesus, this guy that just told stories, Jesus that didn't seem to put in an honest day's work, if you know what I mean, he's standing on shore, Peter comes in, working all night, and Jesus says, go out again. And Peter says, but Lord, we've been at it all night. And I can't help but think there's a subtext in there for Peter. Lord, you who tell stories and haven't worked a lick all night, you're telling us to go out? Lord, you who were a carpenter in training and don't know anything about fishing, you're asking us to go out? But if you say so, I will. But you know what he's thinking in his head. But you're an idiot. And you're going to make us look like idiots. But I'll do it anyway. And when Peter took that risk, when he went out there and threw down his nets, the story tells us the nets were filled to the bursting that they needed to bring other people to pull that in. When Peter took a risk and did what Jesus asked him to do, then he took steps in terms of his life, in terms of love, and moving on in the calling of God. We are called to take risks sometimes, even in our very lives. During this last Christmas season, right after Christmas, I had a chance to do some reading, a book called Shifting Sands, Crossing the Desert of Change. It's written by a gentleman, Steve Donaldson is his name. And he talks about what life is like. You know, it's not a religious book. It doesn't talk about spirituality. But he talks about our life is more like crossing a desert, if you will, than it is setting goals and climbing a mountain to achieve your goals. You know, when we set goals, you know, we get our goal and then things are done, right? But is anybody a mountain climber here? We've all hiked hills. But if you hike a hill, you get up there, how long do you stay versus how long do you walk? You stay a little while, don't you? Life is about the journey, how we travel through our life. It's kind of like traveling through a desert. It's not about setting goals and achieving them. Last week I talked about, you know, what's the goal of parenthood? Do you reach that goal and suddenly you're done? It never ends. It's a process of journeying and continuing to learning to love each other as things change, just like a desert. When Mr. Donaldson was talking about what living life this way, you know, he's a writer, and what he decided to do with a friend was to cross the Sahara Desert. It's to go from northern Africa down through Algeria, Niger, and all the way to the ocean in southern Africa on the section right there, and to learn what it meant to cross the desert. What can you learn when you cross a desert? As they were traveling through Algeria with a friend, they got to the very southern end of Algeria at the border of Niger, and word came that there was political unrest in the area and that the border was closed, and they ought to not go. Many who were traveling, who wanted an adventure like him, they decided to turn back and not go through. Because you don't want to mess with political stuff sometimes, right? I mean, you get in trouble. But Mr. Donaldson and his travel mate named Talis, a Frenchman, decided to go on. And right before they left, a Belgian woman came to him and said, I've got a letter for a friend on the other side of the border in Niger. Would you take this letter? We heard that they had trouble at the border and I just want to give them this letter. So he took the letter and he put it inside his passport, you know, and put it in his pocket. And they jumped on the truck and they traveled and they got to the border of Niger and Algeria. And there was a little cement house where the border guards were staying. And the border guards stepped out and stopped the truck, made everybody get off, took all the passports to look at them. They took Mr. Donaldson's passport and saw the letter inside, kept the letter, handed the passport back to the driver, and asked Mr. Donaldson to step aside. They told him not to get back on the truck. Everybody else they ordered back on the truck, but they made him stay. And they gave the passport back to the driver. And he said, Mr. Donaldson, Steve said all he could think of was that he wants proof that he didn't stop me here, which you know what that means. The truck took off, and Talis, his friend, turned on top of the truck, looked at Steve and said, run. And for a moment, the border guard said, stop. You need to stay here. His friend said, run. And so he took off grabbed the truck. It dragged him for a while until finally he climbed up. The border guard yelling at him, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" But there were witnesses. You know, if he was going to shoot, there were witnesses. He didn't want the witnesses, is what Mr. Donaldson said. He crossed over. He didn't realize what kind of close call he had till he got to the other side. Met the Belgian woman who was supposed to get the letter. And the woman said, "You know, we crossed the border. I crossed the border with two friends." The border guards took all three of us aside. One night they came and got the other two. I heard shots. And I escaped and left. And Mr. Donaldson said that feeling in his stomach, the close call that he had just had. As he talks about that in life, he says, it may not be as dangerous as what he had there. But he said, so many times in our life, there are border guards in our life that tell us, stop, stop. And they may not threaten our life the way a border guard would with a gun, but they threaten us in terms of living and loving others and ourselves. Because we stop and don't receive God's love. In the gospel lesson today, we hear Peter. And that wonderful story about catching fish. As soon as Peter understands who Jesus is, what does he do? He goes right to Jesus. He gets on his knees and said, "Lord, you need to leave because I'm a sinner. I can't go with you. I've done awful things in my life." But Jesus doesn't listen to that. The sin doesn't matter. But Peter had put up a border. "I've sinned. I can't do this." And Jesus says, "Step across anyway. And know love and live love." Anybody in here in this room besides me that has felt guilt in this last week? Anybody in here, this room besides me, have ever been stopped from doing something because you thought, "You know, I've messed up before. I'm a sinful person." Anybody else besides me here doing that? And the reality is, it happens all the time. But sometimes when we do it, what we do is we set up a border. And the border guard that says, "You're sinful." And the guard's there, it's almost like with a gun. "You can't do this. You know, you need to avoid this," instead of stepping out in love and grace. To share just a little confession with you. You know, I talked to a family who was very interested in the church about a month ago or thereabouts, and we set up a time for me to come to their house this last Thursday. And I looked at my calendar, and I looked at the wrong week, and I didn't show up at their house. Pastor doesn't show up at the house. Initially, what I want to think is, I don't want to see them for a while, right? Because I felt guilty. Now, for those of you that are on the staff parish committee and evaluate me, I have connected with them. We do have another appointment, just so you know. But when we sin, and especially even the hard stuff. I mean, I've done stuff in my life where I have hurt people. I'm not proud of that. But do I let that stop me from living and loving the way God wants me to? I think sometimes I put up a border and say, "I'm not going to go there because I'm too sinful." And what would it mean for us to receive forgiveness in that and truly love? Second, I think we set up a border around us because of other people's sin and brokenness. I remember in high school a teacher who talked to another adult about me. And I remember this teacher said, not in these words, but this was the message: "He will never amount to anything." Now, I could tell you 5 or 10 teachers that said how they thought I would do pretty well. But guess what I remembered? "He will never amount to anything." And if I had let him define me, set a border for me, but even I still can remember that. Last summer, we were in Wisconsin at a place we go up to like to fish and stuff, and it's a small town. And I was in a grocery store parking lot. It pains me to tell you this. I was in a grocery store parking lot, and as I was coming out of the grocery store with our food, there was a father and a son. And the son was probably 8, 9, maybe 10, I'm not sure. The father was about 5 or 6 feet in front of the son. I can see it distinctly. The younger son was kind of dragging back. And the father turned to the son and said, "You need to catch up here, stupid." And I tend to be a pacifist. I don't think we ought to do violence, you know. But I could have went and decked him right then. You know, how is it often we let others set borders around us that tell us we're not good enough, or we set borders around ourselves, or when we've been touched by that in the past, we get so angry and resentful and unforgiving that even that unforgiveness, that resentment in our hearts, we can't get past. It's a border that keeps us from loving ourselves and others. What if we believe what Jesus said and you can be forgiven and you can forgive? What if we believe that and didn't let the border guards of resentment, hurt, guilt get in our way? What if we told our border guards, take a hike? I don't need you anymore. Somebody at the first service said, Pastor, it's not take a hike. She said, for me, it's run. And maybe it's run for you. But what if we dared believe what God said, that you can be forgiven and you can live as a loving and a forgiving person and see what that does for you? See what kind of life that gives back to you. You know, as we receive communion today, this is about brokenness and sin. But not about the brokenness that is the reality in our world. But we say as we receive that brokenness, as we receive our brokenness, and as we face those who have touched us in difficult ways in our life, we can know the redemption of God and live as those who love ourselves, God, and each other in the fullness of what God wants. And isn't that what we want? So let me tell you, run. Or tell your border guard to take a hike. Because I want to know what Jesus is about. I want to know what love is about. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you this day for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for life and love, but especially that you come to us with grace. That we not be bound, that we not be caged, that we not be imprisoned by our own sin, by our own brokenness, by our own mistakes or those around us. So, Lord, help us receive that grace within our hearts and soul and live in that freedom of being loved. And help us be those who are free to love into this broken world, to love as Christ has showed us. All this we pray in His name. Amen.